Savior we have. Would you agree?
Amen.
Well, you know He is in every way. Just like our brother Peter says, in Christ Jesus we have everything we need for life and godliness. Aren't you glad? I sure am. Well, I'm here back again, and some of you who are visitors, my name is Jude, and I wrote a letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'd like you to open up that letter that God has for the church. Not because of who I am, certainly not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus Christ is. So if you'll open up that letter, we'd like to share some more things with you from that letter that the Holy Spirit guided. You'll notice that there, in, about 3/4 of the way, it begins with beloved. You know, I use that word 3 times under the inspiration of the Word of God, of the Holy Spirit. You know what beloved means? It's really from the word agapaioi, which means those who are loved of God, but also because of that love from God, we love one another. So it's a word that we generally use as believers in Christ, beloved in God, beloved in the church. It just seems so fitting, especially because I want to share with you this morning that balance of grace and God's love, not only for you, but for those in need. I think if you were just to have that first half of the letter, you would be rather anxious, maybe even worrisome about all the warnings of false teachers, and rightly so. We should be not anxious, but certainly aware of false teaching and the apostasy in these last days that you and I live in. But we need to balance those warnings with grace. And isn't that so true in our Christian life, in our life in Christ? We balance this life with grace in the world that we live in. That word agapaioi, beloved ones in God, beloved ones in the church, speak of that balance. But let's go on, if you will. Here in this letter that you have before you, I ask you to remember the gospel. Follow with me, if you will. But you must remember, and it is an imperative, that we must remember the gospel, beloved. The predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, they said to you in the last days, the last times there will be scoffers, followers of their own ungodly passions, and in these, it is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. Yes, we need to be aware of them. You see, as you and I remember the gospel is so much more than we could ever begin to think and know. It really is, because the gospel is Jesus Christ. It's not just the good news of our salvation, it's all of that, but much more. And so the gospel also warns us, doesn't it? Because you see, that's part of the news that you and I need to know and live with every day of our lives on this side of glory. And so the gospel gives us warnings about false teachers and the apostasies that will come. And the gospel also warns futures, if you will, the future of sinners without Christ. That's important. As you and I heard that warning and turned to Jesus Christ for salvation. You see, part of the good news, part of the gospel is to know that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Like our brother Paul writes when he wrote that letter to the Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, every one of us have. And as God says in His word there through His prophet Ezekiel, the soul that sins shall surely die. And not just the physical death, but also the eternal death. And the gospel warns sinners of their future destiny. And as Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So remember the gospel. Remember that it does indeed gives us warning. It gives all warning to sinners that they would turn to Christ and repent and believe in Him. It warns us of the future and the destiny of false teachers. Just as our Lord and Savior said, and then if anyone says to you, look, here is Christ, and look, here He is, do not believe it. False Christ and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders. We see that today, don't we? We hear that today, don't we? Don't you? and to lead astray, impossible, the elect. But be on guard, for I have told you all things beforehand. You see, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ warns us of things in the future, of things today that we face also. Not only did our Lord and Savior teach these warnings, but his apostles, like the Apostle Paul when he spoke to the elders at the church at Ephesus, be careful, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Those are false teachers. Those are apostates. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. Yes, remember. Remember the gospel that warns us. And then again, when Paul, in his love for Timothy, in the letter that he wrote to Timothy, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. You know that, don't you? We are warned through the gospel of our Savior. It not only gives us warnings, but you know also that the gospel gives us wisdom, doesn't it? Wisdom, like Paul reminded Timothy, where he says, having from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the word of God, that is able to give you wisdom unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, remember the gospel, because it gives us warnings, so we are warned and we can guard our hearts and minds, and it also equips us and gives us wisdom. We also have, yes, I will be much happier when this comes out in book form. But God shows his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know you'll only hear that in the gospel? Not in the wisdom of the world. Not in the religions of the world. You'll only hear the wonderful way of salvation in the gospel, God's word. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more that we are now reconciled shall we be saved by his life. Yes, remember the gospel. You will not hear these wonderful truths of God's grace and love and care and mercy for us except through God's word, by his Spirit. So that we can believe it and trust in Christ, but also that we can share it with others. I know that the gospel gives us so much more for our salvation, for our walk with Christ every day. But I also want to share with you in the context of this, in contending for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints, that's our responsibility, you know that. That the gospel also gives us spiritual discernment. And that's so important today. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he writes this, he says, a natural man, he's talking about the unsaved person, the man or woman, the boy or girl who doesn't even know Christ. That's where you and I were. Weren't you there? I was too. Praise God for the gospel of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord that we're saved. The natural person, the unsaved person, does not accept the things from the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. They disregard and disrespect those things. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The gospel gives us warning, gives us wisdom, and in that wisdom it gives us discernment. The writer of Hebrews says this, in that discerning grace that God gives us, solitude is for the mature. God wants us to grow up. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You see, that's all part of the gospel. Aren't you glad? Yeah. Discernment to identify those who are teaching false doctrine. There in the letter before you, you have a number of characteristics of them. Would you join with me in the letter that you have before you? They are scoffers. False teachers are scoffers. In other words, they mock. They disregard and disrespect the word of God and the things of God and the people of God. They're scoffers. But also they follow their own ungodly passion. Their passion to fill their pride. Their passion to be in control of other people. Of even their own lives. Their desire for positions of power. Worldly passions, desiring the praise of man. They cause divisions. They don't heal. The furthest thing from a false teacher's mind is the unity that we have in Christ Jesus. Know that. Remember that. They cause divisions. But also, they follow worldly principles. They live according to the world and not according to Christ. They'd rather walk with the world and have you and I walk with them too as walking with the world instead of walking with Christ. They're devoid of the Spirit. These are marks, beloved. These are marks of those who teach false teaching. These are marks of those who are apostates and want to draw you and I into apostasy. Devoid of the Spirit. They are not born again. They have not repented. They have not believed in Jesus Christ. They're empty, without God, without hope, without Christ. But you, beloved, yes, I say again, beloved, but you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit, for you are not devoid of the Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save the others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained with flesh. Yes, grow in grace. Grow in grace. Grow in grace, God tells us. We're to build ourselves up in that most precious and holy faith. Do you know why it's a holy faith? Do you know why? Because it comes from God. Faith is a gift. A gift for us to receive. A gift for us to use as we believe and trust in Jesus Christ. A gift for us to see grow and strengthen through the Word of God and the work of the Spirit. Build yourselves up in that holy faith. By studying the Word of God and obeying it. By worshiping God and having devotions with the Lord. By fellowship, too, as we gather together. And ministry in the body of Christ. These are the ways that we build one another up. By witnessing the gospel to others. By doing these things also with Christ. We build ourselves up in that holy faith. Are you doing it? Beloved, are you doing it? We also are to pray in the Spirit. Now I know, I've heard that some are saying, well, praying in the Spirit is praying in tongues. That's not even near it. It's not praying in tongues. When we say pray in the Spirit, what does that mean? I think you know. But let me remind you again. Praying in the Spirit is being enabled by the Spirit as we come to God in the name of Christ, by the Spirit of God. Through that new and living way that we have. He enables us. He gives us grace and strength to pray. But he not only enables us, he intercedes for us. Amen. For sometimes we confess, and I'm sure you do too, you don't know how to pray. But the Spirit is there to give intercession with our heart and our spirit before God. And shaping our request, our petition before God. So that, like Paul says, we don't have to be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let our request be known unto God. And the peace of God that transforms, that passes all understanding, shall guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Praying in the Spirit. And that's what Paul was writing about. Not only does the Holy Spirit enable us with strength and grace to pray, and also conviction so that we can seek cleansing. And not only does he intercede for us, but you know what else? Do you know what else when you pray in the Spirit? He affirms. He affirms our position in Christ Jesus. He bears witness with our spirit that we're a child of God. And as you and I pray in the Spirit, we come before our Heavenly Father and say, Abba, Father! No longer with fear. Yes, with reverence. But knowing He's my Father, your Father. Praying in the Spirit is all of that and so much more. Grow in grace is so important. But there's something else too. You have in my letter before you. It's not only the fact of growing in grace, but we need to respond in grace. Because those who have received the grace of God can give the grace of God to others. Don't you agree with that? Don't you? It's just like those who have been forgiven can forgive others. In fact, that's exactly how God tells us, doesn't He? By His Spirit and His Word, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us. Yes. Grow in grace, but also show grace to others. Growing in grace also means that we're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Are you doing that? You see, love is in the feeling, not God's love. The word there is agape. You know that word, don't you? Sure you do. It's not a feeling, it's a choice. That's why our Heavenly Father can say, we are to love Him with all our hearts, our minds, our souls, with all our strength. And He also commands it because, see, it's not a feeling. It's a choice you and I make to love one another as Christ has loved us. We're to keep ourselves in the love of God. Not only our love for God, but our love for each other. As we grow in grace, we're also to expect as we wait for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? He's coming.
Amen.
Yes, hallelujah. Amen. Maranatha, even so, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Show grace. You see, after having all these warnings, it's possible for us to get kind of anxious and maybe even adversarial to those who are being led astray. And we see them as enemies. We should not see them as enemies. We should show grace to them as God has given to us grace. And there in my letter before you, let's take a look, if we will, of how to show the grace. Have mercy on those who doubt. Have you ever doubted? I have too. There are those who do doubt. And we're to show mercy to those who doubt. To pray with them and pray for them. And to realize, but for the grace of God, I would be doubting right now. To pray with them, to encourage them, and to also help them not to be led by their doubts, but to learn from their doubts. Haven't you also found this true in your own life, in your own heart? That sometimes your doubts are that which stirs you on to learn more and more about God? Isn't that true? And so your doubt is addressed by truth, by God's eternal word. We're also to save others by snatching them out of the fire. We're to intervene. Because, you know, false teaching doesn't only cause doubting, but sometimes it causes misdirection. And those who are misdirected by apostasy and false teaching, they come oh so close to the fire of destruction. And you and I are to show grace to them. It's like the child there with the family. They're all sitting around the campfire. But that little child wants to get closer to the flame because he's intrigued. He's curious about the fire. You've seen that, haven't you? And the child gets closer and closer, and it begins to singe his clothing. You need to intervene. You need to snatch them before destruction. We need to show grace. To those who are doubting, strengthen them. Pray for them. Encourage them. Those who are getting close to the fires of destruction,
Mercy intervenes. It will always intervene. Snatch them away from that destruction. But there's something else I'm asking you to do. No, no, no. Not I am asking you. But the Spirit of Christ is asking all of us to do. Show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. You see, there are those who are not misdirected, but their lives have come defiled because of false teaching. And you and I are to show grace to them as well, and mercy, but with fear. What do I mean by fear? With caution. With great caution. So that you, in seeking to help them, will not hurt yourself and become defiled as they are. It's sort of like seeking to help a person who has a very contagious and deadly disease. There's mercy, there's grace, there's a desire to help, that that one would be healed. But there's that caution so that we would not contract that disease. Are these things clear? Are they? I pray they are. I have one more thing to share with you, but not today. Next Sunday. About a praise, a doxology, a blessing that God wants to bestow upon His church here in South Mountain. But in closing, let me read just that closing benediction from our brother Peter. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. And all God's people said,